well, good morning, everyone. It is December 16th, fabulous Friday, 2011. Thank you for being on the line on this wonderful Friday. Really excited to be learning together and growing together with everyone on the call. Today, we are going to go through one of the possibly most important sections of the book. You know, we've been talking a little bit over yesterday about faith and how important faith is. And, you know, this whole question of, well, how do you develop faith? If you have fear in your life, if you've got this feeling of hope, you know, that you've got a goal and you're hoping that it might happen, but you're not quite sure, you know, is that faith? And the answer is that's the seed, that's the start, but it's not faith. Faith is when you have a knowledge that you know that that goal that you have is on its way, and you accept it, and you know that it's coming, and all you need to do is move forward in a major way, taking action, and that goal will be yours. And so the question is, how do you develop that state of mind? And that's what we're going to be learning today. Faith is a state of mind which may be induced by autosuggestion. All down the ages, the religionists have admonished struggling humanity to have faith in this, that, and other dogma or creed, but they have failed to tell people how to have faith. They have not stated that faith is a state of mind, that it may be induced by self-suggestion. In language which any normal being can understand, any normal human being can understand, we will describe all that is known about the principle through which faith may be developed, where it does not already exist. Have faith in yourself, faith in the infinite. Before we begin, you should be reminded again that faith is the eternal elixir which gives life, power, and action to the impulse of thought. The foregoing sentence is worth reading a second time, and a third, and a fourth. It is worth reading aloud. So let's read it again. Before we begin, you should be reminded again that faith is the eternal elixir which gives life, power, and action to the impulse of thought. Faith is the starting point of all accumulation of riches. Faith is the basis of all miracles and all mysteries which cannot be analyzed by the rules of science. Faith is the only known antidote for failure. Faith is the element, the chemical, which, when mixed with prayer, gives one direct communication with infinite intelligence. Faith is the element which transforms the ordinary vibration of thought created by the finite mind of man into the spiritual equivalent. Faith is the only agency through which the cosmic force of infinite intelligence can be harnessed and used by man. Every one of the foregoing statements is capable of proof. The proof is simple and easily demonstrated. It is wrapped up in the principle of autosuggestion. Let us center our attention, therefore, upon the subject of self-suggestion and find out what it is and what it is capable of achieving. It is a well-known fact that one comes finally to believe whatever one repeats to oneself, whether the statement be true or false. If a man repeats a lie over and over, he will eventually accept the lie as truth. Moreover, he will believe it to be the truth. Every man is what he is because of the dominating thoughts which he permits to occupy his mind. Thoughts which a man deliberately places in his own mind and encourages with sympathy, and with which he mixes any one or more of the emotions, constitute the motivating forces which direct and control his every movement, act, and deed. Comes now a very significant statement of truth. Thoughts which are mixed with any of the feelings of emotions constitute a magnetic force which attracts from the vibrations of the ether other similar or related thoughts. A thought thus magnetized with emotion may be compared to a seed which, when planted in fertile soil, germinates, grows, and multiplies itself over and over again, until that which was originally one small seed becomes countless millions of seeds of the same brand. The ether is a great cosmic mass of eternal forces of a vibration. It is made up of both destructive vibrations and constructive vibrations. It carries at all times vibrations of fear, poverty, disease, failure, misery, and vibrations of poverty or prosperity, health, success, and happiness. Just as surely as it carries the sound of hundreds of orchestrations of music and hundreds of human voices, all of which maintain their own individuality and means of identification through the medium of radio. From the great storehouse of the ether, the human mind is constantly attracting vibrations which harmonize with that which dominates the human mind. Any thought, idea, plan, or purpose which one holds in one's mind attracts from the vibration of the ether a host of its relatives, adds those relatives to its own force, and grows until it becomes the dominating, motivating master of the individual in whose mind it has been housed. Now let us go back to the starting point and become informed as to how the original seed of an idea, plan, or purpose may be planted in the mind. The information is easily conveyed. Any idea, plan, or purpose may be placed in the mind through repetition of thought. This is why you are asked to write out a statement of your major definite purpose or definite chief aim, commit it to memory, and repeat it in audible words day after day until these vibrations of sound have reached your subconscious mind. We are what we are because of the vibrations of thought which we pick up and register through the stimuli of our daily environment. Resolve to throw off the influences of any unfortunate environment and to build your own life to order. Take inventory of mental assets and liabilities. You will discover that your greatest weakness is lack of self-confidence. This handicap can be surmounted and timidity translated into courage through the aid of the principle of autosuggestion. The application of this principle may be made through a simple arrangement of positive thought impulses stated in writing, memorized, and repeated until they become a part of the working equipment of the subconscious faculty of your mind. So we've gone through the why. And here's the how, the self-confidence formula. This is something that we all should be doing on a daily basis. So let's go through this quickly together. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent and continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of autosuggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. And fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use, in the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude toward others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become a self-reliant and successful person. Back of this formula is a law of nature which no man has yet been able to explain. It has baffled the scientists of all ages. The psychologists have named this law autosuggestion and let it go at that. The name by which one calls this law is of little importance. The important fact about it is it works for the glory and success of mankind if it is used constructively. On the other hand, if used destructively, it will destroy just as readily. In this statement may be found a very significant truth, namely that those who go down in defeat and end their lives in poverty, misery, and distress do so because of negative application of the principle of autosuggestion. The cause may be found in the fact that all impulses of thought have a tendency to clothe themselves in their physical equivalent. The subconscious mind, the chemical laboratory in which all thought impulses are combined and made ready for translation into physical reality, makes no distinction between constructive and destructive thought impulses. It works with the material we feed it through our thought impulses. The subconscious mind will translate into reality a thought driven by fear just as readily as it will translate into reality a thought driven by courage or faith. The pages of medical history are rich with illustrations of cases of suggestive suicide. A man may commit suicide through negative suggestion just as effectively as by any other means. In a Midwestern city, a man by the name of Joseph Grant, a bank official, borrowed a large sum of the bank's money without the consent of the directors. He lost the money through gambling. One afternoon, the bank examiner came and began to check the accounts. Grant left the bank, took a room in a local hotel. When they found him 3 days later, he was lying in bed, wailing and moaning, repeating over and over these words, "This will kill me. I cannot stand the disgrace." In a short time, he was dead. The doctors pronounced the case one of mental suicide. Just as electricity will turn the wheels of industry and render useful service if used constructively or snuff out life if wrongly used, so will the law of autosuggestion lead you to peace and prosperity, or down into the valley of misery, failure, and death, according to your degree of understanding and application of it. If you fill your mind with fear, doubt, and unbelief in your ability to connect with and use the forces of infinite intelligence, the law of autosuggestion will take this spirit of unbelief and use it as a pattern by which your subconscious mind will translate it into its physical equivalent. This statement is as true as the statement that 2 and 2 are 4. Like the wind which carries one ship east and another west, the law of autosuggestion will lift you up or pull you down according to the way you set your sails of thought. The law of autosuggestion, through which any person may rise to altitudes of achievement which stagger the imagination, is well described in the following verse. If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win, but you think you can't, it is almost certain you won't. For you think you'll lose, if you think you lose, you're lost, for out of the world we find, success begins with a fellow's will, it's all in the state of mind. If you think you are outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but soon or late, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. Observe the words which have been emphasized, and you will catch the deep meaning which the poet had in mind. Somewhere in your makeup, perhaps in the cells of your brain, there lies sleeping the seed of achievement, which, if aroused and put into action, would carry you to heights such as you may never have hoped to attain. Just as a master musician may cause the most beautiful strains of music to pour forth from the strings of a violin, so may you arouse the genius which lies asleep in your brain and cause it to drive you upward to whatever goal you may wish to achieve. Abraham Lincoln was a failure at everything he tried until he was well past the age of 40. He was a Mr. Nobody from nowhere until a great experience came into his life, aroused the sleeping genius within his heart and brain, and gave the world one of its truly great men. That experience was mixed with the emotions of sorrow and love. It came to him through Anne Rutledge, the only woman whom he truly ever loved. It is a well-known fact that the emotion of love is closely akin to the state of mind known as faith. And this for the reason that love comes very near to translating one's thoughts, impulses into their spiritual equivalent. During his work of research, the author discovered from the analysis of the life, work, and achievements of hundreds of men of outstanding accomplishment that there was the influence of a woman's love back of nearly every one of them. The emotion of love in the human heart and brain creates a favorable field of magnetic attraction, which causes an influx of the higher and finer vibrations, which are afloat in the ether. And I'm going to go ahead and stop right there. We can finish this out next week. Wow, we've been given a lot to chew on so far in this, you know, little piece of this chapter. Just a lot of power contained here. A lot of, inspiration to realize, as Napoleon says, that deep within ourselves there lies sleeping the seed of greatness that we can bring out that would truly stagger the imagination. I believe that. And he's not only given us the inspiration that may happen for each one of us on the call, but he's also given us the starting point, the steps that we can take on a daily basis to start to bring this greatness out, to start to develop this state of mind known as faith. And auto-suggestion is key on a daily basis. Morning and night, if you can, repeat your major definite purpose, visualize yourself in attainment of that goal, whatever it is, and state the self-confidence formula with passion, with purpose, with feeling, as he's talking about. We need to mix these thoughts with the positive emotions, and love, as he mentioned, is a major positive emotion that is closely akin to the state of mind known as faith, and that's one of the reasons that it's so important to strive to eliminate any negative emotions that we have in our lives, jealousy, fear, criticism of other people. As it states in the last statement of the major definite purpose, it says, I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude toward others can never bring me success. So as we repeat this on a daily basis and we really strive to have love in our lives, have love when we're looking at the people around us, you know, whether it's our spouse or our children or the people that we come into contact that we're working with, have love towards them, and we cultivate this and consciously try to have this love and this faith in our lives, that's going to feed on this whole process of magnetizing our minds with this state of mind known as faith. So anyway, just some things that I noticed as we went through that I thought were worthy of repetition. I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines. Bill's feeling a little under the weather today, so I don't even know if he's on the call today, but I'm going to open up the line, so we wish him well and hope he gets feeling well and be back with us next week. But let's open. Okay, press *6 if you have comments on today's call or questions or anything you would like to discuss.
Hey, Paul?
Yes.
This is Cynthia from New York. I'm very excited to share this with the group. Yesterday, the wonderful lady who gave the fabulous suggestion for us to take an inventory of our thoughts throughout the day.
Yes.
Thank you, because I really had a breakthrough yesterday, by last night. Definitely doing my affirmations at the opening and close of the day. But when I took the inventory, I saw how negative my inner conversation was through the course of the day. And when I examined why, I saw that I have too much on my to-do list,
mm-hmm.
and therefore, through the course of the day, I kept on feeling like a failure because I was not meeting all the tasks that I had outlined for me to complete during the day. And so I would feel like a loser by the end of the day. And the what would happen is when I would say the affirmation, I did not believe it. It was, you know, fabulously crafted affirmation, but because all day long I was telling myself, you can't get it done, you're not getting it done, you're not getting enough done, you're not, you know, you're not up to the task. Then by the end of the day, when I would try to say the affirmation, I would say it, but not believing it. So that was a tremendous breakthrough through for me, and it's going to have me revamp the way I plan my day. The number, I mean, I have to scale back. That way I can complete my tasks. That way I won't leave 50% of the things that I wanted to get done on the table. So I really, really have to thank this call. I have to thank that particular lady. And I have to thank that you, because I wasn't able to be on the call at 9 o'clock, but I listened to it later on in the morning. And so I'm thankful for this call. I'm thankful that you record it and that it's available to us. And I'm thankful for the lady who gave the suggestion.
Well, I am thankful for you, Cynthia, and for sharing that incredible experience. And again, thanks to Denise for that suggestion. I love what you said, Cynthia, because I struggle with that as well. You know, you put so much on your to-do list, and you feel that you've got to get it all done. And if you don't, then even though you may be telling yourself that you're having faith that it's happening for you, you're having this thought throughout the day that I'm not getting it. Just like you said. I mean, I can't elaborate any further on what you've said. And one thought comes to mind from the book, The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles, that we went through right before Think and Grow Rich. And he says in that book that we don't need to do, all we need to do is do as much as we can, do our best to fill our present place with what we have, get what we can done in the current day. Don't try to do more than a day's work in that day, and we will get rich. We don't have to fill more than a day's work in the present day. So that is a very, very important thing to keep in mind. Don't overburden ourselves with unnecessary things, and don't try to cram everything into a day. Put in a day's work, plan our day properly, you know, and do our best to do everything we can to fulfill those activities to the best of our ability that day. And be proud of ourselves and you know, be excited, be thrilled, reinforce that faith in ourselves that we did complete what we had done for the day, and that's going to feed on that faith that we're developing. So thank you for taking action on that, Cynthia. And I must report that I did sort of do what I failed. I thought about my thoughts. I was thinking about my thoughts all throughout the day, but I didn't write them down. Did you actually write them down, Cynthia, just out of curiosity?
No, I didn't write them down, but I took particular note. I paid attention.
Yes,
you know,
okay.
I paid deliberate attention to what I was thinking. Because I'll tell you the truth, most of the time, while these thoughts were happening, I was on the move. I was in the car. I was online at the supermarket.
Yes.
I was doing laundry. So I wasn't going to have a pad near me, but I took particular attention and made note of it internally. And I was surprised about how often I felt inadequate and rushed and like I wasn't meeting my own self-imposed bar.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, great. Well, that makes me feel a little bit better about myself because that's what I did too, and I was feeling a little bit guilty that I didn't write all my thoughts down. But so, yes, thank you for sharing that. Really appreciate that. So, and that's one of the beauties of network marketing is if we can get a large group of people engaging in a small activity consistently over time, we can all make a lot of money without having to put in a full work day or even two work days in one day. You know, if we can get a large group of people picking up the phone for 30 to 45 minutes a day every day for a month, and everybody sponsoring one or more people a month, over a very short amount of time, 6 to 12 months, we'll be making a lot of money. And so I just remind myself that I love network marketing when it works properly, because we don't have to be overburdened feeling that we have to do it all ourselves. We all do a little bit and we achieve a big result. So any other thoughts, comments, anyone apply what Denise challenged us to do yesterday like Cynthia did?
Hey, Paul, Jeff Bolz calling.
Hey, Jeff.
I got an echo in my headset. I'm not sure if you're hearing it. But hey, one thing, I got a comment on Cynthia, but before that I was just got home, had to run out this morning. And as I was, it occurred to me that, you know, the income and the retirement that we earn here in 124 is better than the U.S. government, working for the U.S. government in any position. And I thought that was earth-shaking. I got home, and my neighbor was just pulling out of his driveway. I haven't seen him in months, and he happens to work as a contractor for the government. And I said that to him, and he said, "Really?" So I thought that was pretty cool. And then talking about Cynthia, you know, in terms of, I used to do the same thing, and then now I just make my list and I pick the top three things, and then I pick them, and then I number them 1, 2, 3, and if I get one done, that's a great day. If I get two done, that's pretty good too, and if I get three done, boy, I can sleep that night. But, you know, and just the rest just carry over, and you get to them when they're the top priority.
I appreciate that comment, Jeff. That's part of, you know, learning this whole time management, which I'm learning and we're all learning together. It's not always the urgent things that we need to get done. You know, there's a difference between important and urgent. And I remember reading in the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey points out, you know, you're going through your day and you've got these important things you're working on, and this major important project, and then all of a sudden the phone rings. And what do? You drop your important project, and you go pick up the phone, and you get distracted because the phone call is urgent, you know. And sometimes, many times, urgent things are not important. And so we need to learn to prioritize what is important and learn to sacrifice the urgent and say to yourself, sometimes it's okay to shut the phone off for a couple of hours and work on your marketing, or an hour or whatever, because your marketing is important, you know? And it's okay to it's just okay to do these things and not feel guilty about it. And you know, it's, again, things that I'm working on, sometimes I feel so guilty because so many phone calls and not able to get back to everybody in the day. And like, you know, Cynthia said, you get to the end of the day and you're like, man, I still had 4 people that I didn't get back to. It's okay, you know, important versus urgent. Very, very powerful principle. Thanks for bringing that up, Jeff.
10-4, thanks.
Uh-huh. Anyone else? All right. Well, listen, everybody, I do love each of you on the call. I so appreciate your commitment to yourselves and your commitment to living a life of greatness. And I do believe in you. I believe in me. I believe in you. I believe that together we can truly do some great things in life. And just so excited to be on this journey of self-discovery and growth and contribution that we are all on. So have a great weekend. And as always, let's move forward with faith. Let's have a plan that's workable. Let's take consistent daily action. And let us recognize temporary defeat for what it is, just a little small little obstacle that we can kick right out of the way. Let us cultivate love for ourselves and love for humanity, and practice this auto-suggestion stuff and cultivate this faith and watch our thoughts. As Cynthia and Denise have so eloquently pointed out, we need to watch our thoughts all throughout the day, not just at the beginning and the end of every day. Let's be stewards of the seeds that we're planting in our thoughts, because as we all know, that is where our reality comes from. It comes from our thoughts, those seeds that are planted in our thoughts. So thanks, everyone. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here Monday morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. This is Paul Hutchings signing out. Make it a great day.
Thanks, Paul.